Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We've been talking the last couple of days about Yahrzeit, and I think it's important to mention when we discuss Yahrzeits, it's important to note the idea of Kaddish. So Kaddish is one of the main things that a child is supposed to do for a parent on the day of a Yahrzeit or during the Shiva, the Shloshim, and the Yud Beis Chodesh. Where does that whole idea come from? Why is Kaddish something that we give so much prominence to? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf, that we have a principle, bra mizaka abba, that a child has the ability to be mizaka, to elevate a parent. However, says the Gemara, abba lo mizaka bra. A parent doesn't have the ability to give something special to the child once the child is no longer here. So that's why the Gemara assumes that since a child is able to elevate a parent, so that's why the child should do certain things in order to elevate that parent once the parent is no longer able to do it on their own. And similarly, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, after a parent passes away, during that whole first year, during the period of the Yud Beis Chodesh, the child should say, whenever they mention their parent's name, they should say, not just Zichrono Livracha, but they should say, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, says the Gemara. You should say, I should serve as a kapara for any punishment that my parents are going to suffer in Shamayim. So the Rashba has a very fundamental question. The Rashba, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, points out, he says, how do you understand this Gemara? The Gemara says that bra mizaka abba, a child is able to give a schus to the parent after they are no longer here. So the Rashba asks, we have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel where the Gemara says, mi shatarach be'erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos. Mi shalo tarach be'erev Shabbos, lo yochel b'Shabbos. Only somebody who worked hard on Erev Shabbos is going to have, so to speak, something to eat for Shabbos. But if not, it's too late. And that's the Gemara's way of saying, the only time you can gather, galvanize chusim for yourself is only when in this world you worked hard to deserve it. But once the person goes upstairs, once the person is no longer living in this world, so now it's too late. You can't enjoy Shabbos once it's too late already. So if that's the case, ask the Rashba, how do children do anything for their parents? Once the parent is no longer alive, whatever happened during life happened already, and whatever happens later is too late. So that's question number one that he asks. And question number two is, why do we always say as children we should have schus avos, that our schus of our parents should shine down upon us? Says the Rashba, doesn't the Gemara say here, abba lo mezake bra, that a parent cannot give a schus for the child? The child can only do something for the parent. The parent can't do anything for the child. So this is an issue that the Rashba discusses in his tshuva, and it's a complicated answer. I don't exactly understand what he means to say. I don't know if it's Kabbalah. I don't know if it's other things that are just way beyond me. There are plenty of things that are, but this is just one of them. So I saw the Sefer Hasidim has also a discussion about this. He says, Eich yachal ha-masa l'chaper al mashalo asa b'chayav. How could it be that a child is going to do something, is going to daven for the yam, is going to say Kaddish, is going to get an aliyah, and that will be able to help the parent once the parent is no longer alive? V'halo, don't we have a halacha, says the Sefer Hasidim. Chato shemesu ba'alea l'misa azla. If you have, let's say, a person does a terrible avera, and they have to bring a carbon chatos to the Beis HaMikdash in order to atone for that avera. What happens if on the way to the Beis HaMikdash to sacrifice that carbon chatos, the person passes away? So you'll say, why don't we just bring it for them? They need the atonement, says the Gemara, no. Chato shemesu ba'alea, once the person passed away and they didn't offer that carbon, it's too late. So shouldn't that be the same as the Sefer Hasidim? Ein kapar la'achar misa. There's no such thing. Either you had the opportunity to do tshuva before passing away, and if not, then it's too late. Whatever happened in this world happened, and once the person is no longer here, it's too late. Says the Sefer Hasidim, the answer is as follows. Elokach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, no. God says, bra mizaka abba, a child has the ability to give a schus for the parent kigon, sheha'av chote. Even if you have a parent who's a terrible rusher, who violates terrible averas, but no sin has been no lilma Torah, he allows his children to go b'derech hatov. He doesn't stop them from doing the right thing, and he pays for the yeshiva tuition, and he allows them to do the right thing in life, and he doesn't stop them. Hol v'al yedei ha'av zacha haben, since the only way that this child has the ability to be where he is or to do what he's doing is because the parent brought him into the world, even though it's nothing that the parent himself embodied in their life, but that's the reason why a child is able to give a schus to the parent, because in some way, that's a continuation of the life of the parent. So that's what the Sefer Hasidim explains, that even though in general we assume that Misha Tarach B'Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos, only somebody who worked hard in life is able to have schar later on, but a child is the exception to the rule. Since a child, so much of what they are is because of what their parents infused in them and allowed them to do and encouraged them to do, therefore we assume that the child is able to give a schus to the parent even after the parent is no longer alive. And this is what the Marsha writes on that Gemara in Sanhedrin as well. He says, we have seen so many times that you have a terrible Russia, and you have a person who's living life in the most decadent way, and immoral lifestyle, and nothing is right about life. But he says, in the end of the day, they have some place inside of their hearts that says to them, I don't want my children to live the same life as I. Maybe I make terrible mistakes, I made terrible choices, but I don't want my kids to live the life that I do. I'm happier for them to live otherwise. And therefore, says the Marsha, that thought alone, that feeling alone is enough for the parent to have a schus that the child should be able to give a schus to the parent later on. So that's the first issue with regard to a yard site, to Yud Beis Chodesh, that a child is able to do something in honor of the parent and to elevate the neshama, even though the parent is no longer here and it seems to defy the regular rules, but a child seems to be an exception to the rule. And it's because of this that there's a major question. What happens when, unfortunately, you have a parent who loses a child? Not in the other direction, but unfortunately, every once in a while, you have a parent who loses a child. Should Kaddish really be said by the parent in memory of the child? After all, the Gemara says the only way this can work is when you have a child does something special and significant for the parent that helped them, that encouraged them. If you have a child who passes away, does it really make sense for the parent to get up and say Kaddish? Again, sometimes people find this therapeutic, sometimes people find that it's helpful, so that's certainly okay, but does it really do anything special and significant? That's a very serious question about whether or not it means anything. Why is it that we chose Kaddish? Why is it that we choose that a Avel, that a Yasom, that a Yartzeit, the person should say Kaddish? And the truth is, people mistakenly think that the main part of a Yartzeit is that they should daven for the Yamud. The only reason to daven for the Yamud is to get the extra Kaddish, because the Chazan gets to say an extra Kaddish. So that's why the davening for the Yamud is significant. And that's why I always tell people, if you're going to split up the davening, let's say you have a number of Avelim who are going to split up the davening, it only makes sense to take apart that you're going to get an extra Kaddish. So let's say to take brachas till Rabbi Shmuel is worthless. Again, it's a nice thing, but it's not really going to do anything because you're going to say that Kaddish anyway. In our community, we have the minhag that everyone says Kaddish, so you didn't really gain. The only significant part of davening is if you're going to have the Kaddish after Yishtabach, or you're going to have the Kaddish after Shmona Esrei, which only the Chazan says, or the Kaddish after Uval Etzion. But otherwise, to say the first part of davening is not really so significant. So the Maharam Rutenberg and other Rishonim write that a person should be careful that after the relative, after the parent passes away, they should say the Kaddish, because that could be poda es aviv es imo midina shel Gehenim. That can save them from the terrible punishment that they might get in Gehenim. So the Chasam Sofer points out. Why is that? Says the Chasam Sofer, the answer is, it's not some magical Kaddish. The reason why is because if you say Kaddish and you have people answering the Kaddish, that's the main part. It's not just that I should get the Kaddish off my chest. The point is that everyone should respond, that everyone should answer the Amin Yehi Shmei Rabbah. That is what's going to be the schus for the parent. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer said, if you have a choice to go to a shul where a lot of people are going to answer the Kaddish, or fewer people are going to answer the Kaddish, he says, you get a much greater schus when you have many people answering the Kaddish as opposed to fewer people. And as we know, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemaras go very much on the limb to explain how important it is to answer Kaddish. The Shulchan Aruch writes something very uncharacteristic. He says, Yesh lehishtadel larutz kedei lishma Kaddish. A person should try and run to hear Kaddish. So it's a very unusual terminology. He doesn't say you should run to try to do the mitzvah of tefillin and tzitzis and talis and everything else. But here he says a person should really go out of their way to run and try to hear the Kaddish and answer, because Kaddish is something that the Gemara says in Sota, Ha'ola miskayim al amin yehei shmei rabba. It says Kaddish is one of the things that holds the world up. I don't know exactly what that means metaphysically, but that's what the Gemara teaches us. And there are many sources in Chazal. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos as well tells us that a person who says Amin Yehi Shmei Rabba b'chol kocho is able to be saved midina shel Gehenim. And the Gemara says even if you violated terrible averus like Avodah Zarah, you can also be saved from Gehenim. So Kaddish is something very important, but the Chasam Sofer writes the importance of it is when you have people answering. And that's why it's important when a person is the one reciting the Kaddish, you have to say it loud enough that people are able to hear you. If you don't say it loud enough for people to hear, even if others are saying it loud, but if you're just whispering the Kaddish, that doesn't really have so much significance either. There is a discussion in the Binyan Sion. The Binyan Sion was the Aruch Laner, one of the great Gedolim in Germany. So the Binyan Sion writes that, in his opinion, he thinks the Minhag of the Svardim, in his days it was only the Minhag of the Svardim, he thinks the Minhag of the Svardim is absolutely inexcusable. It's totally wrong. What was the Minhag of the Svardim? So he says the Svardim have a practice that they all get together and they daven whatever tefillah it is, and all the Avelim come and say Kaddish together. He says, why do they say Kaddish together? Why isn't one person saying Kaddish? So the Binyan Sion thinks this is an improper practice, that everybody says Kaddish together. Where does this come from? This is a minhag of the Svardim, and he thinks it's wrong. And then he says, Maybe I can understand why the Svardim do it, because after all, he says, the Svardim have a practice that whenever they daven, they say a lot of the davening out loud together as a congregation, as a tzibur. So he says they are already accustomed to knowing how to say the words on the right pace and everyone being along with each other. So Kaddish can be the same, but he says in our community, where we don't do that, we have a chazan who stands up, and the chazan just reminds us at the end of every paragraph where he's up to, but we don't say the words together. He says it's a terrible minhag, he doesn't like it, and he says therefore he thinks only one avil should be given the Kaddish, and we should not have different avilim saying together. He says when you have many mispalalim together, and they're going to be trying to say the Kaddish out loud, he says it becomes a joke. This one's going faster, that one's going slower, everybody's off pace with each other. Kol da'alim gvar, he says they're fighting with each other to try to say who's going to be louder, who's going to be softer, who can make more noise. And he says he thinks it's not a good idea. Chaverot zoe kenegdo, this one shouts the Kaddish louder and the other one is screaming back. And he says therefore he thinks better that we just have one person. So where did this minhag come from? Where did it start from? So number one, the Binyan Sion writes, if you look in the earlier Achronim, the sources seem to indicate that there is a hierarchy for who deserves the Kaddish. So they say, it depends if a person is in Shiva and Shlosh and Yud Beis Chodesh. So he says, why do we have this whole discussion about who has Kadima, who comes first? Why didn't they just give the simple answer? Everybody say together. He says, the answer is, they never had this practice. Nobody ever said Kaddish together. They always switched off. Everybody had a turn, and therefore, the Achronim try to figure out who has the right to the turn more than the others. So where did the mistake come from? So some suggest the mistake started with Rabbi Kiva Eger. That Rabbi Kiva Eger lived also in Germany, and Rabbi Kiva Eger lived at a time where I don't know what exactly the illness was, but apparently there was a terrible epidemic in the neighborhood, and so many young children in the neighborhood lost their parents. So he said Rabbi Kiva Eger came to shul, and in his shul they had so many children who had to come and say Kaddish for their parents. He said if they were going to take turns, he said you would get a Kaddish, it says, once a month or something like that, once every 2 months. There were just so many people that they had to accommodate for it. Again, it was an unusual circumstance. So in that case, Rabbi Kiva Eger said, look, we can't have this, that every kid is only going to have a chance once a month to say Kaddish, so now I'll make sure that everybody says Kaddish together. But they point out that that was only an extenuating circumstance. That's not something that should be followed all the time. So again, there are different practices in different shuls. I know that my father is very careful about this, even when he has Yahrzeit. He only says Kaddish when he's the only one. If someone else is saying Kaddish, he lets them do it, because he feels that the whole thing, like the Binyan Tzion writes, started with this mistake, with this unusual circumstance of Rabbi Kiva Eger. They say that the Chazon Ish was also very makbid on this, that you shouldn't have more than one person saying Kaddish. Again, different communities have different things, but certainly if the community has the practice that everyone says Kaddish together, you have to be careful that you actually say it together, that everyone can answer the Kaddish and that everyone can hear those who are reciting the Kaddish. We have a practice that when somebody recites Kaddish during Yud Beis Chodesh for a parent, they only recite the Kaddish for a portion of the, for once they get to the 12th month from the time when they passed away, usually they stop saying Kaddish. Where does that come from? Why do we not say it for a full year? So the Gemara tells us that a person is judged in Gehenna for Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum punishment somebody can have, even if you were the biggest Rasha, the worst violator of Averos, the maximum punishment you can deserve is 12 months of suffering in Gehenna. So therefore, the Kaddish is going to elevate the parent. The Kaddish is going to do an Ilei HaNeshama. So we say, so go ahead and say the Kaddish. If you're going to say the Kaddish 12 months, that's the maximum amount of time. What are you saying about your parent? You're saying, I think my parent was such a Rasha, they need my Kaddish because they're still suffering. So that's why we have a practice that we stop a little bit early to show we don't believe that our parents are such Rishayim. They might need our help. Maybe they made mistakes. Maybe they didn't do the right thing. Maybe they violated some Averis, but they didn't violate to the maximum, and therefore we don't say that Kaddish should be recited for the entire 12 months. We say that Kaddish should be said only for a duration of that period, not for the entirety of that last month. That's out of kavod, out of respect to the parent. That's why we stop early. I know my father was called by actually somebody who's a very prominent person nowadays, not as a Talmud Chacham, but prominent for other things. So I remember he called my father that he loves his mother so much, he wants to say Kaddish for her more than 12 months. He wants to keep going. So my father said, if you loved your mother so much and you respected her so much, you would make sure to stop when you're supposed to stop, because the whole point is to show I have so much covet for my parent that I don't think they were such an avarian. I don't think they were such a violator of an avera, and I don't think they really need my help. So that's the basic minhag that we have. Either way, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, and with this we'll close, that even though he says, Afal Pisha Amiras HaKadosh VeHatfilos Ma'ilos La'avos, even though we know that reciting Kaddish and davening for the Amid is going to be helpful, is going to be a schus for the parent, Mikal Makom, he says, Ein Elu HaIkar. That is not the main thrust of what gives the parent the Aliyas HaNeshama. Ela ha'ikr hu, the main thing that a person should do for their parent is sha'abanim yelchu ba'orach mishar, that the child should live a life of honesty, of integrity, an upright life, where they should make the right decisions. Ki bazeh he'mezakim esa'avo, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the greatest way to give his chus to a parent is not by saying the Kaddish, is not by davening for the Yamid, is not by all the tzedakah that we give, but obviously tzedakah is a part of it, and Kaddish is a part of it, and davening is all a part, but he says the main thing is that they should go ba'orach ha'mishar, that they should live life to the fullest, they should do all the right things that they're supposed to be doing, perform as many mitzvahs as he possibly can, and with that the person will give a tremendous ilui haneshama for the parent.